and welcome to the final episode in this series of Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Alexander Pope to the Arizona Cardinals are Lynn Ferguson.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Will Smith.
Hello.
And Tim Vine.
Hi.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. And if you've got a joke, share it with the rest of the class. Now, let's tune in, turn on and pop out for the first top three. Our first category is your top three reference books. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, that's Lynn. Will Smith, I've got you down as a reference book kind of guy.
I do like reference books. Now, obviously, I want to sound quite esoteric to start with, so I'm going to go with Encyclopedia Britannica. It's kind of a false friend in some ways, because you look at it and you think, wow, if I read all of that, I'll know everything. But no one ever reads them. You've never seen a well-thumbed copy of the Encyclopedia Britannica. So instead, I'm going to go for the Profanosaurus. And, yeah, that's the men. It's our Cosmo, basically. If you don't know, it's just vulgar phrases.
Very un-PC.
It's very un-PC. But actually, that's another type of reference book I really like, is reference books from the early 20th century that are really un-PC. My friend had one, and it was his granddad's or something. It's one of those, you know, kind of a bumper book of facts for boys. And it'll have, like, you know, planets of the solar system and colours of the spectrum, and then it'll just have, why women have a smaller IQ than men? a reference book I did think was absolutely appalling, actually, was Learning to Fly by Victoria Beckham. Just nothing about how to trim your control surfaces to achieve stable flights. The physics was rudimentary. There were no instructions on how to deal with wind shear or engine malfunction. Frankly, the woman's an idiot.
I'll give you a point for that. I did read that book, so I want...
Oh, God, tell me you were reviewing it.
Yeah. No, I read it. I read it for pleasure.
What pleasure did you get from it?
Finishing it. Tim Vine, reference books?
I went down the local library. I said, I can't get over your books. He said, get off that shelf. It's just been a while. I haven't seen a joke yet. And I've got a book of idioms, which I use to sort of write jokes sometimes. I go and look at the end of a joke, like a famous phrase. So you think of a famous phrase now, Andrew, off the top of your head.
A stitch in time saves nine.
So a stitch in time saves nine. So, there we are.
Wow,
so I use it to write jokes. So
I'm going to give you 4 points for doing an instant joke there.
I was reading a book called The History of Glue and I couldn't put it down.
I'm really glad we asked this.
I was told the whole audience would be 6 years old. I was told. And the Stanley Gibbons catalogue as well, is a great one. Because my mum's got a stamp collection, which has got lots of penny reds and penny blues and stuff, and she's told me that I'm going to get it when she dies, and so I sort of go and value it every now and then.
Richard Herring.
I like the Macmillan Encyclopedia of the Royal Family, which I wrote for in...
How and why?
In 1991.
Did they interview anyone else for the job?
I had to go to Buckingham Palace. This is when I got lost in Buckingham Palace. I had to go to Buckingham Palace to get a special pass so I could use their library. And then they told me to go around the front, which I thought they meant just right the front of Buckingham Palace. And so I walked into the centre of Buckingham Palace and sort of looking around going, this can't be right. It's weird because there aren't, you know, reference books seems like a sort of outdated idea. Because now there's the internet, why do we need... So Wikipedia is my only reference book now.
Even though it's always wrong.
Well, it's kind of fun that, you know, you're taking a chance. I was looking up about, you look at what happened this week in history, and they had, for 1 week, they had in 1954, Osama bin Laden dies.
Nobody has got my favourite reference book yet.
Barbie's Guide to Glamorous Parties?
No.
Yellow Pages?
No.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
It's so obvious, you're just useless. Oh, come on.
Fodor's.
It's the Collins Dictionary, that's...
Ah.
So everybody thinks that I'm related to the Collins who wrote it.
Are you?
Not. No.
No.
So you do as well. So time's up on that topic. I'll be asking you for your top threes shortly. Before I do, though, a quick reminder about the Joker. If any of your top threes match what Lynn has in her envelope, you'll get a bonus point for each match. But if you think you can predict some of Lynn's answers, you can play your Joker and you get double your points for everything you match up. You've all got one Joker. You have to play it at one point. Let's see if anyone's feeling lucky. Richard, your top three reference books, and do you want to play your Joker?
I definitely want to play my Joker. There's just too many reference books and I don't know enough Scottish ones. There'll be an almanac of some kind in that envelope, that's all I know. I'll go for the Macmillan Encyclopedia of the Royal Family. I will go for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, just it would be brilliant if it existed. And I will go for the Profanosaurus.
OK, Tim Vine, what have you got?
I will go for the Stanley Gibbons catalogue. I'll go for the Late Surge for the Thesaurus, and then I'll go for Book of Idioms.
OK, and finally, Will Smith.
The Profanosaurus, just an atlas. It's like looking at different countries.
I like that as well.
Thinking of what I'd do if I was in charge, that sort of thing. And the Tolkien bestiary.
Lynn Ferguson, let's see if...
Shall I open my envelope for you?
Your top three reference books, please.
Right, my favourite, nobody's even mentioned, which is the Darwin Awards. Named in honour of Charles Darwin, the father of evolution, the Darwin Awards commemorate those who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it. So they've all died through really stupid things, right, and there's loads of them. Right, basically, Darren's death was a mystery. The 33-year-old was found slumped in the hallway of his house, bleeding from stab wounds to his chest. Police initially assumed that an assailant had attacked him, but they could find no supporting evidence, right. Darren was found lying near a bloodstained jacket he had purchased whilst on holiday in Spain. Investigators saw no indication of a struggle and the coroner reported that the stab wounds seemed to be self-inflicted. Right, any idea how he did it?
He stabbed himself.
Yeah. His wife cleared up the mystery. As she was leaving for the holiday, she remembered Darren wondering whether his new jacket was stab-proof.
Are there any other books?
London A to Z.
Right.
Loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it. The last one is an atlas.
Ooh.
Because they look fabulous on a table.
OK, well, that means that you had one match with Will, so you both get a point for Atlas, and we add up the points from the previous round, and we find that in last place, currently, Richard Herring. In second place, Lynn Ferguson. Joint first, Tim Vine and Will Smith. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Tim, you're first. So either or. Stay in or go out?
Definitely go out, because out is adventure, excitement, and you meet strangers when you go out, which is the main thing about going out. That makes life interesting. If you meet a stranger when you're in, more often than not... They're mostly burglars.
I'll give you 3 points there for logic, I think. Richard Herring, Paxman or Pac-Man?
I think I identify more with Pac-Man. Because I think, you know, we're all essentially big yellow heads trying to eat tiny pills whilst being chased by some ghosts. But sometimes when we've eaten a gigantic pill, we can chase after the ghosts for a short amount of time. Give them a taste of their own medicine. Whilst Jeremy Paxman doesn't really do any of that. So I'll go for Pac-Man.
That's such a rounded answer. I'll give you 4 points for that. So we'll add those points to our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three birds. Can you start us off, please, Tim?
Well, I like the cuckoo, actually, but I like the fact that the name cuckoo is the noise it makes. You know, if there's a bird at the end of your garden, it's going, cuckoo, you don't go, what's that? you know what it is. And I think they should all be like that, really. I think a robin should be called a... and maybe the blackbird, if you could teach it to go, blackbird, blackbird. I also like the emu. Do you remember a few years ago there was that spate of emu kidnaps? I actually, at the time, had a job as an ostrich negotiator. So that was the reason for that.
I'm going to give you a point there just for gall.
Is this the buzzard round, by the way? Come on.
Will Smith, birds.
I like the hawk. I've always thought I'd get a lot more respect if I walked around with a hawk on my arm. Owls, because they look at you like they know all your secrets. It's quite freaky when you see an owl. You think, oh, he's reading my mind. Eagles, because the bird associated with the best films, Where Eagles Dare, the Eagle Has Landed. I don't like ducks because of the Lamentable Mighty Ducks trilogy. Doves, because it's the bird of peace. It's problematic for me, the dove, because I also associate it with one of the worst jokes I've ever heard in my life, which was in a maths lesson. A maths teacher drew a graph on the board, and he said, O is for the origin. If you know anything about popular music, you might think that O is for something else. O for the wings of a dove, perhaps. Yeah. I know. Let it sink in. That's the way to get teenagers into maths. Name check a contemporary hymn.
I like ducks, but that's
not
my favourite.
I thought when ducks came up, I can't believe Andrew Collins, I thought that's the answer.
I like ducks, but it's only because I want to feel what a duck's bill would feel like if it kissed me on the cheek.
Yes.
So I'm weird with my owl phobia.
Yeah, but...
You want to be kissed by a duck?
That's why I like it, because I've no idea what it'd feel like, but I get the feeling it'd probably feel good.
So I'm just learning more and more about you.
If that were to happen, Andrew, if your dream were to come true, would you not then want more?
But it's not my favourite bird, and if you want to get 5 points, you'll have to guess my favourite bird.
Is it a kingfisher that you like the
best? No, I like to be a kingfisher.
Pelican? Right.
You'd like to be a kingfisher? What, because you think a duck might kiss you if you're...
It's the pied wagtail, of course.
Yeah,
I love the pied wagtail. It's a black and white bird that lives mostly in car parks. Lynn Ferguson.
Albatross. I like the albatross.
Any particular reason?
It's really big wings. Yeah. Really big wings. Bigger wings than you could even think of big wings. I quite like that they've got a sort of thing. In fact, I like birds in general, though not in the sexy way that you like them. I like them because I think they're quite Protestant.
Yeah.
I do, because 90% of birds, right, are monogamous, right? They just hang out with, like, albatrosses, they stick with the same partner, eagles, they're like that as well, swans.
You'll break his heart if you say ducks.
Yeah. Birds, they just settle with one another, and I like that.
I'll give you 1 point for that, because that's a very good reason for liking birds.
Phoenix, because if you do it in Scrabble, you get 19 points, right? Before you even get a double letter score or anything. That's frankly brilliant.
So let's get your final top threes, and do you want to play your joker? Therefore, do you feel lucky in matching up with what Richard has in his envelope? Let's find out. So, Will, your top three, and are you going to play your joker?
I'm not going to play the joker. I'm going to go for the hawk, the owl, and the dove.
OK. And Lynn?
We are talking about what Richard likes, so I figure it's probably the booby, the swallow and the red-throated diver. When my joker is on the table.
It's down. OK. And Tim, your top three?
I'm going to put my joker down. Puffin, swan and dodo.
OK, that's excellent. And, OK then, Richard, herring, open up your envelope.
I've never even thought of rude ones. I've gone for... the emu, rod-hulled emu, though, not the actual emu. The dodo. And I've gone for the pelican, because it has its own crossing.
OK, well, dodo was a match there for Tim, and we'll add that to the other points scored, and we find out at the end of that round that in last place, Richard Herring, joint second place, Lynn Ferguson and Will Smith, and in the lead, Tim Vine. OK, time for another quick-fire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite python, please. As the audience arrived today, we asked them who their favourite python was. Our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Richard Herring, your favourite python, please.
Well, I can only go with my heart. I think the audience will be stupid and choose John Cleese, who has let us all down since he did that Sainsbury's advert. In fact, they've all let us down, apart from Michael Palin, who is definitely the best python.
OK, Lynn Ferguson.
Eric Idle. Don't be mad.
Eric Idle's the worst.
He is not.
He's so the
worst.
He is
so not.
You've seen Casper the Friendly Ghost?
So?
Nuns on the Run?
So, nudge, nudge, say no more. Eric Idle is magic.
That's all he did.
So, no, but he did loads of things. He wrote songs and everything. He wrote...
He's always looking at the bright side of life. That's
yeah,
him.
He did.
That's fantastic.
It's a passionate
and
answer.
Actually,
what's he done lately?
How dare you, Herring, have a go at somebody else's career?
Okay, Tim Byne.
I agree with Richard. Michael Palin.
Michael Palin and Will Smith.
For Fawlty Towers, it's got to be John Cleese.
Okay, right. Third place, 15% of the vote, Eric Idle.
Yes!
Second, with 33% of the vote, John Cleese. That means the winner with 43% is indeed Michael Palin. That's 5 points each to Richard and to Tim. We'll push straight on with our next top three. And this time it's your top three karaoke numbers. Tim, you're sitting this one out, so what do you think, Richard? Songs that you might enjoy at karaoke?
I very rarely do karaoke, but when I think it's important to do something that's impossibly difficult, so I usually go for Bohemian Rhapsody. I did Crazy Horses once, which I know the chorus of, which is just to go, Crazy Horses, ow, ow.
You think it's like a dog bark?
Yeah. But I had no idea how the verse went, so then you just go, you do that, I went going into that, and then it's going... all the way through. Because I used to sing when I used to properly like do light opera and stuff when I was young. I can't really sing anymore, so I also do songs from Dick to Lieber by Schumann. But they don't often have those in karaoke bars. Im wunderschönen Monat Mai. That's one.
That is 3 points, Richard.
Thank you.
That really is. Lynn, do you have any more karaoke numbers you'd like to throw into the pot?
I'm a bit phobic. I'm a bit phobic about. I quite like watching other people do it, but I just can't be doing with the whole no thing. I like if occasionally you get a couple of people doing push it. If you get drunk women doing salt and pepper, that makes me very happy. I like, my favourite thing to watch or listen to is ones where people know the chorus but don't have any idea about the words. They're the best ones. Turning Japanese, very, very good. But similarly, Achy Breaky Heart is always a favourite. And then I don't know why I like this, because I don't even like the original of it, but Forever in Blue Jeans. Because it's always some big fat guy who's forever in sweatpants. Do you know what I mean?
Will Smith.
Well, no surprise, I've never done karaoke. I'm too uptight, too much, you know, of a control freak. So I don't do it, and plus all the songs that I'd want to do would just be, you know, impossible. It'd be like The Revealing Science of God by Yes or something like that. So just watching people is fun, though. I mean, the most classic karaoke song is, of course, I Will Survive, which is great to watch because it's normally performed by people who look like they're about to collapse. I'd like to see someone do Earth Song by Michael Jackson. Just get on a wind machine, pay someone to dress as an Orthodox Jew, someone to dress as a Muslim, and they embrace halfway through. It'd be fantastic.
You've done that.
Yeah, at home.
At home, yeah. It doesn't really count karaoke at home, does it? I think we could probably break this if we get you to sing the Bergerac theme now in front of some people.
What? There's no words, although...
Yeah, but that's even better. You don't have to remember them.
I have written some.
Go, do it.
Here comes Jim. Lovely Jim. Solving crimes. Island-wide. Da-da-da-da-da. Driving round Jersey's leafy lanes in his Triumph Roadster. I wish he would hold me when I go to sleep.
See, if that was on karaoke jukeboxes, Lynn would go to karaoke. That's how good it was.
I'd be really happy. I see the point of karaoke.
It's beautiful. That was actually quite touching.
I do.
What a way to end the series. I'll give you 5 points for that. That really was terrific. You won't guess mine because it's Paid in Full by Eric B. and Rakim, which...
Can we hear a burst?
I walk up the street whistling this, feeling out of place, because man do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape of me and Eric B and a nice big plate of fish, which is my favourite dish. But without the money, it's still a wish. See? That's Paid in Full. Thank you. OK, I'm afraid there's no more time to talk this one out. If you haven't played your Joker, you might like to think about it. And let's hear your final top threes. We'll start with you, Will. Your top three karaoke numbers, please.
Yeah, it's my Joker. So for Tim, I'll go for I Will Survive, yep. Bat Out of Hell, and because he's a man of taste, the Bergerac theme, Words, Will Smith.
Imagine if he has that. OK, Lynn, your top three, please.
I actually so liked the Bergerac theme, I'm going for that as well. That made me really happy. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Turning Japanese.
Turning Japanese, I really think so. Richard?
I'll go for gold, yeah. Always believe in your soul. That's by Spandau Ballet. I will go for... Im Wunderschön und Monat Mai by Schumann. And I will go for... Well, My Way's probably got to be... It's the most boring kind of karaoke song in the world, and that's why I think Tim will have it.
How nice. OK, then, Tim, let's see if anyone gets any points.
Well, I've gone for Honey by Bobby Goldsboro, and I've gone for Moody Blue by Elvis Presley. I'm not anti-karaoke, actually, but I am that dull person who goes for My Way on occasions. And I know it's very obvious, but...
So that's one match with My Way there. So Tim and Richard get an extra point. And we find at the end of that round that in last place currently, Lynn Ferguson, Will Smith is second, and joint first now, Richard Herring and Tim Vine.
Oh, yeah.
OK, time for another round of either-or. Points for reasons, not answers. Will Smith, either-or, poetry or prose?
Prose. Because anyone I've ever met who said they write poetry has smelt like roadkill and behaved like a mercenary.
I'll give you 3 points for brevity there. Lynn Ferguson, the A-Team or the X-Men?
X-Men, because the A-Team, although there was, you know, the big black man with the bling and everything, which is magic, are they not just mercenaries? Am I wrong?
They were fighting for good. They were. You were joining on the government
side. If you have a problem and no one else can help... You can call the A-Team.
Aye, but they got paid, presumably. Did they not?
I mean, I think like they often used to sort of wave their fee, didn't they? Because, well, one of them lived in a mental institution, so he didn't have any rent, and the rest of them lived in the van.
2 points for that, and I'll give an extra one to Will there for expounding upon it and explaining. We'll add those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Will, you're setting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three things you only do on holiday. Lynn?
Buy rubbish. I mean, I can buy rubbish sort of part-time throughout the year, but usually there's a point to it, usually. Do you know what I mean? Somebody will eat it or it'll take up a bit of space in the house or something like that. But on holiday, I will buy rubbish. If you go to Portugal, you buy one of those chickens. I don't even like them. Do you know what I mean? I arrive and I go, why is everybody buying these chickens? 3 days in, I'm about, like, looking for a really big chicken. My brother used to do that thing of he'd phone me from Thailand going, hi, I'm in Thailand, I've bought a Thai. And then he'd phone me from Jersey and he went, hi, I'm in Jersey, guess what I've bought? Jersey. Yes, Jersey. Also, go to water parks. I go to water parks when I'm on holiday because I've got kids and it's a really good way of getting them so exhausted they can't even speak past 7 o'clock. So I go to water parks and that's good.
What about you then, Richard, on holiday?
I'll enjoy lying in a hammock, which is something I never do at all unless I'm on holiday, but I spend most of my time on holiday lying in a hammock.
You normally tell the truth in hammocks, do you?
I've never seen him speechless.
There's no way back.
Give him a point.
I'll give you a point, Tim, for making Richard speechless.
One of the things I like to do on holiday, which I don't do anywhere else, is kiss a Dutch girl. One thing I do on holiday that I don't do anywhere else is play table tennis. Which, you know, it gets boring on holiday, doesn't it? You get to the point and think, oh, my God, what are we going to do with another long day full of nothing? I've sat in a hammock for 3 days. So you play table tennis, sometimes against yourself. You can play it against yourself. You can run around the table.
Tim Vine.
I don't go on holiday all that much, but I seem to remember having hot chocolate at breakfast. And that's something that I just never, ever would think of doing at all now, but actually... It's, you know, when you have those slightly exotic buffets in a hotel, and you can have all kinds of raspberries and waffles, and you wrap sugar puffs with a piece of Parma ham, and you could really go to town in those places. Well, what I'd like to also say that I do on holiday, well, I don't do anywhere else, is because I can't do the butterfly. You know, the swimming butterfly. I can't do it. So it's something I only attempt when I'm far from home. And so I attempt them. And I've also invented a new stroke, which I only ever do on holiday, which is basically you lie on your back and yet you go forwards. I've never seen it done before. You can actually get up reasonable speed. And also, I never walk sand into a lift when I'm at home.
Unbelievable. I'm going to have to ask you for your top threes, if we can come back down to earth. And let us start with you, Lynn. Your final top three, please.
Oh, it's difficult, because it's stuff that you would do. So I bet you'd wear shorts, you'd wear flip-flops, and you'd maybe... I just have got such a weird picture in my head. And I don't know, maybe you would sunbathe. I can't...
That's weird, is it?
It is a little bit.
Richard Herring, your top three, please.
I'm playing my joker. The top three things that I only do on holiday are drink out of a coconut, wear a sarong. How can something that feels so wrong be so right? Stick that up, you pun jumper! Oh, yeah. And I speak very slowly.
Finally, Tim, what have you
Well, got? I'm trying to think, get inside Will's head. So I sell straw hats on a beach. play croquet with my mother. And smoke a pipe.
Thank you very much. So there's all to play for then. Will Smith, okay. Who opened the envelope? Tell us your top three things you only do on holiday.
OK. Number one, shoplift. Number two, engage in homosexual activities. I read a survey. And three, wee in the bath.
So no bonus points there, but it does mean at the end of that round, and at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Tim Vine, Lynn Ferguson and Will Smith. And our winner is Richard Herring. So that's all from us for today's show and for the series. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, first come may well be first served, but they'll have nobody to sit with, will they? Goodbye. Banter was presented by me, Andrew Collins. It featured Lynn Ferguson, Richard Herring, Will Smith and Tim Vine. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Alison Carpenter. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.